listeners. You are listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone. And with me usually is my co-host and aunt, Beth Woods. Instead, we have a different family member. Regular listeners will recognize them, I hope. And frequent guest and frequent family member, and the first member of the first and still only member of the That's Entertainment Five Timers Club. Please welcome once again Bob Malone.
Hello, Jeff. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And this is a bit of a mini episode. We're not doing a full deep dive because it's a topic we've covered before, but you know, it's one of those update dealios. We're talking about the question and answer game show, the 2025 edition of the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions recently wrapped up. One of our earliest episodes of That's Entertainment was all about Jeopardy, and Dad, you were not the guest on that episode, but you were one of the guests on a later Jeopardy episode, if you remember that.
I do want people to know I am wearing my Five Timers Club jacket that you so graciously presented to me. But as I mentioned a couple times, I can't keep track of all the different episodes I was on and the mini episodes. So I do recall talking about some of the Tournament of Champion Jeopardies and various Jeopardy shows.
Yeah, well, we don't count the mini episodes in the Five Timers calculations. So, but you were on when we did the Jeopardy guest host episode.
I talked with some of the contestants.
Right, we had all everyone on that episode besides me was a former Jeopardy contestant. Mm-hmm. Yourself mm-hmm. and Stephen Grade and Sarah Jett Rayburn, we had them all booked on that episode. But yeah, our original episode on Jeopardy was me and Aunt Beth welcomed Stephen onto that episode.
So Stephen,
I believe, is actually a three-timer because he was on those two Jeopardy episodes and our Mel Brooks episode. Was that a year ago or 2 years ago now? Well, anyway, since we covered Jeopardy in full in depth, we've kind of revisited it a few times, and often in the form of Tournament of Champion recaps. And Beth doesn't always keep up to date on every single episode, but I was like, well, instead of me just talking to myself on the microphone for these TOC episodes, I'm like, well, let's check in with Bob Malone and see if he has anything to say. So that brings us here now in the middle of February to discuss this matter at hand. But anyway, if you're a first-time listener of That's Entertainment, you should know that the premise is we usually pick a pop culture topic and discuss it according to the three F's, first, favorite, and forever. So that's what we did with our first episode on Jeopardy. But this is just a quick recap of the most recent Tournament of Champions. Everyone out there got that? Do you think they understood, Dad?
I think they do. Okay. We'll give them credit for that.
All right. We won't have to go to the judges for a rule. But just a quick recap of the Tournament of Champions that recently wrapped up. The last competitive episode aired Thursday, February 13th, and there was a special exhibition episode the day after that. We're recording this on Sunday the 16th. It'll be in your podcast feeds probably a week after that, so Sunday the 23rd. At which point we'll be in the midst of the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament. We'll put a pin on that in for a second. Let's just focus on the TOC for a moment, which was won by Neelish Vinjamuri. And in the the current format of the tournament champions, they do a first to three wins format. Ken often says best, Ken, host Ken Jennings often says best of seven, but that's not technically the best way to say it because if someone wins three games and then they're like, well, we'll just keep playing all seven games anyway, well, then someone could theoretically win four. But
It's the
yeah, so
first to get to three.
exactly. And Nilesh was, he did that within five games. The other two finalists, Adriana Harmeijer and Isaac Hirsch, won one game each. So, Dad, just what was your, what were your main takeaways of this year's Tournament of Champions?
Well, I might be repeating myself, but I do think Jeopardy overdoes it a bit with the wild card and the second chance tournaments right
I think
before the
this was just,
tournament.
this was the second season that they had those.
Yeah, so you get it's actually started on December 30th. So since then, we've had basically almost 2 months of tournament play on Jeopardy. And you've really had a higher level of play on Jeopardy, but I have always been confused. What's the difference between the second chance? Who are these? What's the when are they getting to the Tournament of Champions? But it also, so you get a little tournament overload, but they did produce one of my favorite players in a long time, not just from this year, but in many years, in Drew Goines, I believe it is, Jeff. Is that how
I
you pronounce his
pronounce
name?
it Goins.
Goins. Not just, I would put him up there, and I'm not saying one of the best players, but just most entertaining, just real, a lot of personality. And he wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for these tournaments.
Well,
So
and he,
I do have mixed feelings about it.
well, he would not just. So he was in the, right, he was in the, he started in the Second Chance tournament, which won
So
that
he had
go,
only won once, is that correct?
he hadn't won at all.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I think, yeah, I'd have to check, because I think, like, Second Chance is people who haven't won, who
But
didn't win in
impressed.
their original
Yeah.
appearance, but were impressive, like finished a
Right.
close second. And then Champions Wild Card is for people who have won just one or, once or twice. So not enough to automatically
Okay.
qualify for the Tournament of Champions.
Yeah.
But so then the second chance people, the second chance winners, then they move on to the Champions Wild Card. And then the Champions Wild
Right.
Card winner moves on to the Tournament of Champions, which is what Drew did. So he had to go through all that. And he also caught a lucky break. Do you remember?
Right.
Because it was
He
talked
was,
about.
yeah, he ended up being the second place winner of the wild card,
Right.
right? And would not have qualified. But Lisa Ann Walter from who would have been the celebrity Jeopardy representative, could not make it because of her Abbott shooting responsibilities, or, and so he was next in line to be on the show, to be on the Tournament of Champions, and then he made that, and in one of his answers, final, I think it was a Final Jeopardy answer, he gave her credit. I think he did win, but he didn't know the answer, and his Final Jeopardy answer was something like, or question was something to the tune of, "What is God bless Lisa Ann," or something like that. So he did appreciate that. Yeah. So, like I said, I think they kind of do a little overload with all the tournaments, but it is fun.
Yeah, I kind of, if I were a Jeopardy producer, I would do like a second chance or the Jeopardy's, the Champions Wild Card, maybe like once every 5 years, like build up a pool of potential contestants to return. But yeah, I mean, there, and Drew wasn't the only interesting contestant. Who was the Will Yancey, I think his name was. He was there were two second chance winners, and I believe he was the other one, and I found both of them entertaining. So
Yeah.
yeah, I mean,
Was Mark Fitzpatrick a second chance or is he a wild card? Because he was quite
neither.
impressive.
I
No?
think
Oh, is he
no,
just a.
he was in the Tournament of Champions
Oh,
without
okay.
having to go through that. He was, I think
Like a.
he won five games. Yeah, he was a
Oh,
five game winner. Yeah.
okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'll watch anything, even if they did, even if Jeopardy suddenly decided we're gonna do just tournaments for the whole entire calendar year, I'd still watch it. I mean, I wouldn't exactly be happy because that would mean no new contestants, but it's still an entertaining enough show that I would still watch it.
Yeah, I don't think they've gotten to the point where I think it's still there's a lot of game shows on TV, but I still think this is the preeminent one, and they haven't gotten to the point where they're turning people off, you know, or so people are not turning off the show, you know.
Right.
And
I
I
mean,
think
I do see some people complaining online on like the Jeopardy subreddit and other spaces, other websites for Jeopardy discussions, and some of them say like, I'm skipping this week for Second Chance or whatever, but I don't ever see anyone saying I'm quitting the show.
And I think we discussed last year, or when they started, that the three-win format is a valid and exciting format. You can do the 2-day, but I think this one is just as valid and as exciting. And I think it also encourages even bigger betting. You each day you really have to go for you know, you just have you go that day and you have to bet big. And I think it encourages that.
Yeah, one drawback, and I may have said this last year, is that with the first to three format versus the 2 day total point affair, is that it doesn't matter how good the second or third place finish was. Like a zero finish in second place is just as good as, or just as
Yeah.
bad as, a $20,000 second place finish.
Yeah, you could end up in second all the time, and just out of reach, and it doesn't matter. Yeah, because you just have to. You really you don't. And sometimes the bet there's not as much, not necessarily as much strategy in the betting. You just really have to bet big, whereas in the other times you would have to bet and say how much should I save for, you know, for the second day. And there was a, I think there was a little more thinking there, but that's what this encourages, just to go big each day. And so you really do have you have competitors who are quite even, and then it comes down to who's getting the daily double. And it's not just who gets it, they have to get them right, but more often than not they're going to get it. So you really, it's who gets it, and then who's willing to bet big. And some of the contestants are just, that's how they play, and others are kind of forced to play that way. So if you know.
A maxim that I will say when it comes to Jeopardy is you should play the way that you're comfortable playing, so you don't have to. If you don't like playing aggressively, then don't play aggressively. But if one of your opponents is someone who bounces around the categories and hunts for daily doubles and bets big and is good at doing that, then you pretty much have to play that way as well if you want to have a chance against them.
Yeah, I mean, just to jump ahead and talk about the finals, you could tell that Neelish was that type of player. He was a big bettor, and sometimes I say, oh yeah, bet big, but he was frequently bet everything, and even in Double Jeopardy. And
I think
Adrian,
Ken mentioned he bet he set the record for the highest daily double wager of this season and then broke that record the very next game.
Okay, yeah, they're probably like 15,000
about
in
that,
that range. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Adriana was definitely not that type of better. Mm-hmm. And she, you saw her making, I think, bets out of her comfort zone, but she knew she had to do that. Mm-hmm. just to stay with them. But it's funny. I thought she was a 15-time winner, but I liked her, but I never felt that she was a dominant player. And I didn't really feel like she belonged in that grouping of a, you know, if you're a double digit champion, you should really be a dominant player. And I never felt that she was a dominant player. She didn't win with really high scores. She never bet really big. I didn't feel, I mean, even when you're winning 15 games, you think you'd have a lot of competition. I don't remember it that well, but I didn't think she had a lot of really strong competition, just to the best of my knowledge. And so she acquitted herself well, but I just didn't think she was a tournament. She was a champion. And so I was pleased that Neelish won. But then I checked, and I think he had only won 3 games yeah. coming into this, you know. So it's not like he was really a big champ. But he played more like, you know, the champions that you would expect.
I don't think the number of games won is the best way to determine how strong a Jeopardy champion someone is. I mean, if someone does win 10 or more games in a row, they're definitely worthy of respect. But mm-hmm. there have been 5 or 6 game winners, or even in the case of Neelish, 3 game winners where, like, they impressed me more than the double digit game winners.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, whatever happened in the game that they lost, maybe they came up against someone who was another strong opponent, or they missed a daily double in Bet Big.
Could have been the daily double. Yeah. 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 When they're taking those chances, you just never know. You play that way, and there's always a chance you're going to get a daily double wrong, and that could be what does it, or could be the final Jeopardy.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting them. You know, like what was James Holzhauer's record for finals? It seemed like he was, you know, getting them right at 80-90%, but not everybody does that. And so, yeah, you don't know why that person got that. What happened on the fourth day, and if he had gotten that right, maybe he would have gone on to 10 times or whatever.
Well, I can check the J archive really quickly. See his.
Yeah. I didn't check to see.
It's like he was in the lead going into final, but not a big lead. And, he got it wrong. So a decent performance in his fourth game, but not a dominant performance.
Yeah. And you can't, again, to expect to double up, to have a runaway in every game is just expecting an awful lot too. But overall, I thought this tournament was exciting. It was well played. I don't think there were any outstanding or dominant players. Some years you say, wow, this, you know, we really had somebody that's a player for the ages. I didn't think anybody really stood out there. Like I said, Adriana was a 15-timer, but I don't put her in that category. And so there was a lot of good players, nobody outstanding. But I put Drew in one of my favorite players in the last 5 years or more. So for personality, I say he is in that category.
Well, we'll see how Neelish does. I believe they're doing Jeopardy Masters again this year, and I believe the tournament champion winner qualifies for that. So we'll see how he does. Mm-hmm. Against some of the all-time greats in that.
Yeah. Sometimes the more recent players do well because they bring players back, and if they haven't been, practicing or mm-hmm. studying or practicing with their buzzer, they look somewhat mortal, you know, and you say, what's going on? You have to stay in Jeopardy shape.
Right. I mean, they're kind of professionalizing it now since Michael Davies has taken over as producer, like the with Jeopardy Masters every year in these multiple tournaments. People are being invited back. Champions are being invited back and being invited back more frequently than ever. I mean, it's like, does James Holzhauer and Amy Schneider, do they do anything else besides train for Jeopardy? Yeah, okay, did you have any I think that's all. We covered the main points. Do you have anything else before you wanted to mention before we wrap it up?
No, I feel, do you agree? I think that the level of difficulty of the questions that they do raise them, and on there were sometimes on the wild card, especially in the wild card and second chance, that not everybody was that outstanding. And I said, oh geez, you know, there were gaps, there were time, some of the shows I remembered that not all the questions were being answered, and some I knew, and I said, gee, you know, I'm getting questions that are going through, but what do you call it if nobody answers, you know? Yeah. And it would happen occasionally, but then Drew and Will and others would come up with some answers that I said, wow, I, you know, these are really tough. And because you know what, again, they're getting younger now. Will was not young, but there would be some sports questions or some pop culture questions from 60s and 70s, and they didn't know them. And I'm thinking, you know, what's with, up with this? Well, that's ancient history to them. But there were questions that, you know, categories that I was really impressed with, some of Drew's answers and Neelish's answers, and some of them were some of the physics categories, and some of the others were some really impressive answers. Another thing I thought about was you can study so many things, but I like some of the categories can be a little silly, but when they're questions about before and after, replace this letter, things like that, those are, to me, those are categories, those are questions that you can't study, you can't really prepare for. So those show how quick the person is, how quick on their feet, and how they can think there. So I do like those categories. I think those are, it's good to have a lot of those. The less, you know, don't just rely on capitals and geography and even, you know, scientific things, because, you know, just going back to my experience, I didn't study a bit. I even the day I tried out, I was just sitting there. People were flipping through cards, and all these, even all these people now talk about flashcards and studying their flashcards, you know, and they better know your Shakespeare, and you know, how much studying do they do? I like it when it's just what people know. And now, you know, like you said, it's kind of a professionalization. I like it when it relates, when it tests you on how quick you can think, and what your brain can do, and put things together. So I like those categories.
I agree with that as well. I mean, when you there, I think they're always going to keep talk asking about state capitals and world capitals and Shakespeare and those sorts of things. And the challenge there is just phrasing them in different ways than they have before. And then the challenge for the contestants becomes zoning in on the right part of the clue to figure out what they're actually asking for.
Yeah, they're doing a few more anagrams too, which you have to be quick at.
All right. Yeah, I mean, we talked about all these tournaments, and then there's also the spin-offs. There's so much Jeopardy going on. There's pop culture Jeopardy and celebrity Jeopardy. So pop culture Jeopardy new, it's in its first season on Amazon with Colin Jost hosting. Celebrity Jeopardy latest season is airing Wednesday nights on ABC. So, have you been keeping up with those at all? I know you've watched at least one episode of Pop Culture Jeopardy because you watched it with me. But have you been keeping up with those at all?
I get so much of Jeopardy. I probably see it, 90% of the time. I don't watch it if I miss it, if I'm not around.
The regular syndicated version.
Yeah. And occasionally I'll watch Celebrity Jeopardy. Sometimes I think people like to watch that. It makes them feel smarter, when you're watching that. I haven't gone out of my way to watch Pop Culture Jeopardy. I think it's a lot more, it's a lot newer, more recent stuff. So I don't think I'm, would know it as much. And I wish you would get on it. And, like you said, I think that's your bailiwick, if that's not what you've said or somebody said, but, I think it's not overdoing it, because I think that is a whole other category. I think there's still room for that to be there. And have they moved on? Are they like in their semifinals or?
Pop Culture Jeopardy, I think. So as of our recording, I think they're in like the middle of the quarterfinals. I think they started with 81 teams. So they had 27 first round games. Then 27 teams advanced to the quarterfinals, which makes for 9 quarterfinal games, then 3 semifinals and 1 final, and they release 3 episodes per week. So I think by the time this arrives in people's podcast feeds, I think the last of the quarterfinal episodes will have just been released. So I think the final, I think, should be released in maybe the first week of March, I think.
So, oh, okay.
I mean, because they had so many teams, the first round took quite a while. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're in the quarterfinals now.
Okay. I haven't watched it enough, but I always wonder how you handle a 3-man team on a game like this where you're buzzing in,
It's a little tricky, but I think they have it down pretty well. Like Colin, he'll say the team name and the person who rang in from that team. So like, what was one of the team names? It was a takeoff of Only Murders in the Building. It was something like only Champions in the Building. It wasn't that exactly, but it was Only Something in the Building. So he'll say, Colin will say, and some of the team names are kind of long, so he'll abbreviate them. So he'll say Only Something McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
So like you know, he won't just say the team name, he'll say the specific person's name, so you know that you're the one who's supposed to be talking. So
yeah, okay. And so they don't consult, it's just that one person answering.
They can consult on daily doubles.
Oh, okay.
And also on final.
Mm-hmm.
But the most of the clues, that it's just the one person responding. Okay. Yeah, and I've been watching all of it. I've been watching every episode of regular Jeopardy and Pop Culture and Celebrity. And if I'm not home for them, I'll record them and watch them as soon as I can. And I'm enjoying all of them. It's just like, when there's a week where all of them arrive, it's like, well, now I get behind in all the other shows I watch. But I mean, that's just the story of TV in the 21st century. All right. Yes, that's another Jeopardy Tournament of Champions recap. Anything left to say before we get ready to watch the SNL 50th anniversary?
They've had a lot of Jeopardy skits too, haven't they?
They have. Very memorable. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see something.
Yeah,
one of those revived on the special tonight.
Yeah, some of my favorites, that Black Jeopardy and Jeopardy 1999, and mm-hmm. and then just all the Jeopardies with Alex Trebek, many memorable skits.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, do you have anything to promote or recommend before we...
Your mother and I have been watching Paradise and Slow Horses.
What are those on?
They're on. Slow Horses is on Apple, and I think Paradise is on Hulu, which is on what? Which is on Disney.
Yeah, I think pretty much every Hulu show is also now available on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So you should be able to watch it on either.
Your mother was a big fan of Shetland.
Right.
Watched all 9 seasons, and that's on BritBox.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for our American viewers, it's on BritBox. For our, yeah. If we have any British viewers, I imagine it's on, maybe it's on the regular old BBC.
Yeah.
I'll promote, as usual, our Patreon if you'd like to support us with a few bucks a month. And Ken Jeong, you still have an open invitation to appear as a guest whenever you'd like. And my best of 2024 coverage is on jmoney.com. So if you've been itching to know what my favorite movies and TV shows and music of the past year were, you can... the secret is out.
Have you done your Oscar predictions yet?
Not yet. I have to wait until... So the BAFTAs, the British Academy, they're today. So if you still have your BritBox subscription going, I think you can watch that.
Oh, no, I think it ended.
Okay. I have to wait until the Screen Actors Guild Awards are handed out before I can make my final predictions. I want to have as much information as possible. But speaking of the Oscars, that'll probably be the next, that will most likely be the next time that Aunt Beth and I are on together. We should be recapping that in a few weeks. But in the meantime, you could leave us a review. If you'd like, you can do that at ratethispodcast.com/thatsentertainment. You can follow us on, we're on social media on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and we're now on Blue Sky. Not sure if we were there yet on the last episode, if I mentioned that or not, but we're there now. This is the first episode being released in 2025. Did you know that, Dad?
I did not.
Yeah, we were.
It's kind of Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah. 2020 or January was, I don't know, I had like 2 colds, and December was kind of busy, so it was not exactly planned break, but still a nice one to have. All right, I will say, if Aunt Beth were here, she would say, what is good night, even though we're recording in the afternoon. And Dad, I'll let you say goodbye however you'd like.
Well, goodbye, and it was a pleasure visiting again.
And it was a pleasure having you. And to everyone else, keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.